And welcome back to episode 47. This is side B of episode 47 of the Strong Style Story podcast. Just to remind you, I am your host, Selector Jeffrey Wessel. You find me at Strong Style Story without the E in style on Twitter, and the blog is, at least for now, at strongstylestory.tumblr.com. That's something we're going to be talking about here shortly. And with me still is, you know, the co-founder, the co-host, the OG, Chris Damasceno. Chris, I'm assuming not much has changed since last we talked about.
No, not a whole lot. Yeah. Outside of a bathroom break and like a tiny bit of food.
Oh boy, TMI, dude, TMI, man. So we're doing this side B because I know we already did a lot of content, but this also happens to be our third anniversary of doing this show. Actually, of course, you know, when we actually started the show, we did it as it was our very first show was a preview of the World Tag League, but we decided, you know what? Maybe going forward, we're just going to do it on the back end of our Wrestle Kingdom preview, because as we determined, nobody gives a shit about the World Tag League. So, before we get into our own, you know, self-congratulatoriness, I think Chris and I are going to actually kind of run down our thoughts overall on 2018 in New Japan. And I know we kind of already got into it a little bit at the end of Side A, because Chris was regaling us with the story of how he's getting drunk at an airport at 6 a.m. in Kansas City because Naito lost. But, you know, I think a lot of people were really, really fucking bummed out that Naito lost. And
being a Naito fan is suffering. I've learned this much in 2018, if we need a starting point.
I mean, there were a lot of people who were unhappy at how Naito was booked this year. And, I mean, I'm not going to say that they're wrong. I think they maybe are panicking a little bit too much, because not everybody can be the top guy, unfortunately. And
this is true. And as weird as that might sound to some people, the Shinsuke Nakamura role of being the 1B of the company with the white belt is not as bad as you would think.
Yeah, I mean,
still pretty fucking over regardless.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, again, I think we're going to see, you know, I think we already kind of predicted we're going to see like two concurrent redemption angles, and they're going to clash, and they're going to come head to head during the course of 2019 with Kazuchika Okada and Tetsuya Naito. But how do we get to this point? Well, I mean, I think overall, I think the one thing I can really say about 2018 is that it was a tale of two halves. And I can tell you exactly where the halves divided. And it was, you know, at Dominion. Because after Dominion, it seemed like there was a sea change in how New Japan was going about things. Which makes sense, because that's when Harold May came into the picture. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was around that transition time.
Yeah, and I really think that, I mean, the first half of 2018, I mean, God, it was so long ago, but I mean, it started off with Wrestle Kingdom and a lot of people being heartbroken, and the first half ended with a lot of people being elated because Hiromu had won Best of Super Juniors and, you know, and then eventually ascended to win back belts on. You know, the IWGP junior heavyweight title.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there were a lot of, you know, still some really good feelings going around. And then, you know, we have the 2 out of 3 falls match at Dominion. Kenny Omega unseats Okada at long last. Okada, who'd held the belt pretty much for 3 years, bar a 70-day reign for Tetsuya Naito in 2016. But, I mean, if you take that out of the picture, he would have held that belt for 3 years straight. You know, up to and including nearly, you know, possibly, you know, having some major damage done to him by Katsuyori Shibata, because everybody forgets, it seems, you know, in the conversation about that, we always remember how Shibata headbutt Okada so hard that he started bleeding and he ended up having, you know, brain injury. And you know, fell on the way back. Everybody seems to forget that Okada took that headbutt. You know.
Yep.
And
which
who knows?
Could have been just as bad on him, too.
Yeah, exactly. Who knows what damage could have been done to him from that? Yeah, I'm still not convinced that he's not going. I mean, between, you know, several neck drops and, you know, and that headbutt and things of that caliber, I'm still not convinced that we're not going to learn that Okada's going to be, like, paralyzed by 45 or something. But, you know, be that as it may, you know, there is definitely Kenny Omega won the title, and that was about when things started to start sliding in 2018 for New Japan. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't, I mean, he hadn't really had a defense of the belt yet, and you know, that was forthcoming. But I mean, we kicked off the whole affair with, you know, his title reign by him cutting a promo saying that the Japanese wrestlers were lazy, and
yeah,
that caused a shitstorm that really did not. I mean, that was like an unforced error right there, and I mean, and in the ensuing thing, I lost some friends over that because I called it out as bullshit. And you know, one person who's, you know, big up in the wrestling Twitter hierarchy, you know, said that we were the real racists by saying that Kenny Omega could never be Japanese. I'm like, what the fuck? What are you even fucking saying here, you know? And, you know, that very sentiment reared its ugly head, you know, last weekend, too, on Twitter. But I'm not going to get into that. But, I mean, the point is that, you know, there was a lot of bullshit going on. And then, you know, we cut to later in June for a show that I was actually present at, the CEO X New Japan show down in Daytona Beach, and Kenny Omega books a registered sex offender on his show and then doubles down with lying about it. When it, you know, well, I had no, it went from, oh, he was just some dude who loaned us a ring, to, you know, I never heard of this person, too. Oh, yeah, I met him in 2016. And I think it just really got off to a really, really fucking bad start.
Yeah, and we had some discourse about that during past shows.
Oh, yeah,
in which
we certainly did.
Had Kenny just been forthcoming and said, yeah, that was my bad to begin with. I shouldn't have done it, but it's happened. It's never going to happen again, and these are the steps I'm going to look to take forward to not fuck up like this, then you know what? It's a little more palatable. It's still a terrible idea throughout, but at the very least, okay, maybe you learned something from this and you're going to move on and not fuck up again, but it was kind of the opposite.
Yeah, and then, again, I was at CEO in New Japan. It wasn't bad. The delays happened, again, I'm going to say it again, I firmly believe that the delays that happened there, because the show started an hour and a half late.
But then again, delays within, like, gaming community events, it's like an infamous thing at times for FGC, where they're running late on a ton of stuff.
Oh, yeah, no.
This even goes as far as Evo, so yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. It was firmly CEO's fault, because no other New Japan show on the North American continent started late.
Yeah.
In mm-hmm. 2018, so it was them. It was fully them. But then we, you know, and the thing is, it was just like, there was a sign in portent we didn't see until too late, which was, you know, Naito took a hellified bump during the main event of that match. It was like, oh shit, is Naito okay?
Yeah, it was gnarly.
Mm-hmm. It was gnarly. So then the next week, we get an injury that took out Hiromu Takahashi for the rest of the year. And into 2019, we don't think he's going to be back until after G1, I don't think.
And, of course, the sad rumors even have been surfacing recently. It's like, maybe he just doesn't come back at all, which, by the way, whoever decided to wish that evil upon us, fuck you.
Wow, is that coming around again?
That was apparently some sort of news story rumor thing for a little bit about 2 weeks ago, I want to say, is when it was out. But I'm just like, no, let's wait until something official of that sort comes out before
anything
is said and done. How dare you?
I mean, he's doing Christmas cards for New Japan, so I mean, I don't think he's bailing out just yet.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was just that took the wind out of a lot of people's sails with him getting injured, too. And, you know, and we had already had the wind taken out of our sails because Katsuya Kitamura went out.
Yeah. Who's still fighting over his leg issues right now from a car. Yeah. I think it was a car accident.
His leg got crushed. No idea. Yeah, and that's happened. And then I found out recently, somehow I missed it was announced in October, but remember Tetsuhiro Yagi got injured in April, and he retired in October.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, again, there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of losses going on here. Mm-hmm. Speaking of losses, you saw Dynamite Kid died, right?
I'm sorry?
You saw Dynamite Kid died, right?
Yes.
Tom Billington?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, all I'm going to say is he was a man. That's all I'm going to say. Because he was a joy to behold in the ring. He was an absolute terror to be around. So, yeah, that's all I'm going to say. He graced us with his ring skills and terrorized the people around him. So, you know, that's all there is to it. So, but anyway, back to, you know, the more relevant portion of this. So, I mean, and then, you know, so we had this great match in San Francisco that ultimately we find out the next morning that Hiromu was like had a horrific neck injury because of it. And we saw when it happened. I mean, he slid across the canvas on his neck, you know?
Yeah. And of course, the kind of downside from even back then is just that we think about, for anyone who remembers it too, King of the Indies had happened the night prior, and Dragon Lee wrestled like four times that night.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
had to go in the next day. And it's just like, what's normally a routine, albeit a dangerous spot, but a routine spot in their previous matches, just kind of
went wrong. It just went wrong. Yeah. Exactly.
And then, again, that's not by no fault of Dragon Lee either. Like, nobody in the right mind would be blaming either one of these guys for what happened.
I don't blame him for a second. I mean,
some people did, and fuck those people, by the way, a lot.
I mean, I don't think anyone felt worse about it than Dragon Lee, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I know how this goes. And then, at that same show, you know, we had the Juice Robinson Jay White match that felt like a Memphis, old school Memphis brawl, and then we had a shoot incident on top of that. But then the show killer was the main event. It was Kenny Omega versus Cody Rhodes for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship, and it just fell flat. I mean, there was like a couple of dangerous spots in there, sure, that popped the crowd a little bit, but I mean, it just fell flat, and, you know, and Kenny Omega, you know, gurning and pulling faces to try to wring, you know, some sort of emotion out of this match when we just had a fucking shoot happen. You want to talk about emotion? You know? Yeah. I mean, it just kind of went from there.
I think the irony was in the fact that when you considered the background of the U.S. title and how the previous months ago, when Jay White defended against Hangman Page over at the Walter Pyramid, and that match kind of fell flat. We were kind of sadly expecting the same between him and Juice, and then that turns out to be a barn burner. And
and it wasn't just the match itself either. I mean, let's face it, there were circumstances.
Evolving.
But it just sort of set here just kind of set the stage, and yeah, G1. Was great. A lot of people were disappointed in G1, though, because A, Naito didn't win it, and B, because a lot of people scratched their heads about it, Hiroshi Tanahashi? You know? And
I think to me it didn't make as much of it wasn't as astounding, given the fact that they were also promoting my dad as a heel wrestler at the time.
I'm sure that has a lot to do with it. It's
a big portion of it, I think, absolutely. But on the same vein, a lot of the disappointment with Naito not being anywhere near even the finals and the like is just the fact that that's around the time, too, where you saw a lot of inconsistencies in telling his story for the remainder of the year. So is he going after Sabre? Is he going after Suzuki again and then back to Sabre? It was a cornucopia of confusion. And
yeah, and I think there's a lot of it too, is that for a very, very much of this year in the second half, there was not a clear direction in what was happening. And I think,
and not just for Naito, in general, I would say.
Oh, just
say,
no, yeah, in general. I mean, it was throwing shit at the wall and seeing what stuck, and that turned off a lot of people. It turned me off to a great extent. I mean, and then you know, it was just a lot of other poor booking decisions. Pardon me. Like we just discussed, you know, on side A, you know how you know. That San Francisco show made Juice Robinson look an absolute fucking star, and then they spent the rest of the 2018 making him look like a schmuck, you know? And then, you know, and we kept riding with Cody Rhodes. You know, they famously took a match everybody was absolutely fucking looking forward to, which was, you know, going to be Omega and Ibushi at King of Pro Wrestling for the IWGP title, and then they threw... And then Cody Rhodes inserts himself into the match. But, I mean, you know, we say inserts himself into the match. That's not the truth, as far as we know. It's, you know, the bookers put him in it, you know? For what end? I don't know. I know what the end result was. The end result was that match sucked. You know? So...
The end result was basically holding back on a... Kenny Omega, Kota Ibushi, big singles match outside of G1, in which we probably won't see again if the rumors that Kenny is going into this All Elite Wrestling thing
out. So, this was a match that everybody wanted. This was what everybody wanted, and they took it away for no discernible reason. To give Cody Rhodes a bump. For what? I mean, Jesus Christ. This is why a lot of folk are really upset with the booking right now. You know, with you know white folk, it's because it's the elite, and they have tried to make you know two promotions all about them now. It seemed like you know, or they're being booked that way at least. And it's just and meanwhile, you know, again, Hirooki Goto and Minoru Suzuki had the best match at Wrestle Kingdom 12, and they're off the card. And for what? You know, it just so. I mean, a lot of various factors in 2018 just you know just contributed. I mean, it was building that with you know Kitamura going out and Yagi going out, and you know after Omega wins the belt is the clear dividing line as to you know when things started going down creatively. I think and a lot of interest now. Mind you, they're still selling out houses, and people are still watching it. I mean, we're still talking about it. So we haven't ditched the product yet, by any stretch.
Yeah. It's just one of those things where the past 2 years we've been used to seeing onwards and upwards from New Japan, with, you know, the plateau being just a little bit, you know, spiking up a little bit higher. This year it kind of just plateaued, and to some people maybe it dipped. A little bit, which it can happen to wrestling companies.
Yeah,
sometimes
I mean,
you have it down here.
Yeah, it certainly can. I mean, I certainly think that's the case. And again, you know, a lot of people are trying to say, well, you know, look how creatively how DDT and All Japan and all this, you know, this and that. It's like, okay, great, that's great. I'm glad to hear it. You know, I'm glad that other wrestling companies are having good years. But that's not what we discuss on this show. You know.
Yep, that's a point. That's a fair point.
And you know, and by the same token, I don't hear a lot of praise for you know Big Japan or Dragon Gate this year either. I've heard those have been really kind of stinking of late too. I mean, hell, we got Shingo Takagi. I mean, that was a bright spot of the second half of 2018. Shingo Takagi came in.
Yep, Shingo came in. Shingo having kind of his mini excursions there between obviously Champion Carnival and All Japan. Showed up in Battle of Los Angeles for a weekend and nearly won the entire thing. So, you know, stuff like that.
Shingo Takagi, I mean, yeah, I mean, he was tearing it up and he tore it up in Champion Carnival. And honestly, he still deserved a shot at the Triple Crown because he beat, you know, Kento.
And that's the thing too. Like he would have, if I guess he didn't do the New Japan route officially, he would have had a back pocket title shot for the PWG World Title too, since he beat Walter clean in the semifinals
Yeah,
as
that
well.
too. I mean, Shingo Takagi. Hell, I mean that. I mean, let's see. Let's give some praise to New Japan where it's due in 2018. Shingo Takagi was a great get for them.
Absolutely.
I mean, he was.
Taiji Ishimori, another great get as well. Let's
Yes,
not
he
give that in
was
the other portion of
definitely.
the year.
Yeah, I mean, now we said that they should sign ACH. I'm hearing he may be heading to Orlando.
That's what I heard as well, rumor-wise. It's
So.
not been confirmed yet, but at the very least, ACH being hired somewhere and being paid a consistent amount of money to do the wrestles is great. I would just hope that he does it somewhere that he can still be super creative and awesome, but we'll wait and see on that until it's anything like official and shit. So.
Yeah, well, we'll see, sooner than later, I'm sure. But I mean, it's just again a lot of the booking decisions and the very elite centric booking decisions in New Japan, I really think took a lot of people out of the product.
But at
And
the same time, it makes me wonder if a lot of these people were just fair-weathered to begin with. They were just here because, hey, somebody decided to show them the white guy in New Japan, the weeaboo against their top Japanese guy kind of thing during the Minion. So,
I mean, I don't know. I
it,
mean, at the same time, we're kind of dissatisfied with it too.
yeah, true, but we can at least. I think at the very least from our side of the fence is that we've seen them do better and would hope that they can ascend to those heights again. But some people tend to be very knee-jerkish when it comes to trying out new stuff. But then again, on the same vein, you definitely have some older fans that are just as disillusioned with it or out of the bandwagon altogether at this point too. So
Right,
multiple examples of
I mean,
so.
I've been, and I think you have too. You and I at least have been both watching New Japan long enough to have seen ups and downs in various time periods, and this is definitely a down period creatively. Now, I think the real test is going to be seeing what the attendance is at Wrestle Kingdom,
Yeah, I think
because
that's going to tell a lot of things about 2018 once
I
we
think
see what
so.
the
Oh
attendance
yeah,
numbers are.
for sure. And quite frankly, if you ask me, the Dave Meltzer standard for how well a champion is whether or not he draws. So I guess we're gonna find out how good of a champion Kenny Omega actually is then, and whether or not he's actually a draw.
Yeah,
Because
that's gonna be the big proof.
yeah, I mean, because and of course, since Dave Meltzer was completely in the tank for Kenny Omega, he's going to come up with an excuse. If the attendance goes down, he's going to come up with an excuse for why it happened. But I mean, they showed the attendance this week, during the Road to New Japan show, Road to Tokyo Dome shows. Nearly 35,000 legit. That was a spike of 9,000 people last year. So I guess we're going to see. And we'll see where this number lies and whether or not Kidani's going to get his sellout for Wrestle Kingdom 14 in 2020. Because, if it does trend upward, great. And then obviously my opinion about Kenny Omega means absolutely nothing. As champion, means absolutely nothing. But,
I
at the
think
same.
it's one of those things where you can still have an opinion on certain things on the creative side of the fence, but with that in mind, the financial side is what's really gonna determine things, I think, going forward. And so I think it's a big deal even for the New Japan office in terms of, hey, how do we plan the rest of 2019 outside of what we have for like new beginnings on the USA shows side of the fence on the expansion end? Do we double down? Do we lower it? Do we keep it at about the same amount of shows as we did this past year? So it's a wait and see, I think, on all fences as to what the attendance in Wrestle Kingdom is to kind of determine the course forward on a lot of the back end aspects.
Yeah, I agree, but I also think that maybe the frequency with which they were coming over to the USA this year too really kind of damaged things too.
It got sadly oversaturated really, really quickly.
Yeah, especially in the LA area. Now, again, the Lions break shows that happened, you know, last month, or, yeah, was it last month?
Around last month at this point, yes.
Yeah, I mean, when it became clear that those were just like, you know, as we said, they were New Japan convention panels taking the form of wrestling matches. You know what? I was kind of okay with it, you know? It became clear that it couldn't be judged on the same standard, honestly, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, when you had Kenny Omega talking about the empty seats at the Walter Pyramid, it's like, okay, you're not Scott Steiner. Why the fuck are you doing this? You know?
And to me, I got the idea of doing Strong Style involved in Long Beach as a follow-up to the previous show in September on the previous year. And the Cow Palace, I get that was kind of a very bold, let's gauge how far we can go with this in the U.S. side of the fence. But I just don't think you need a fighting spirit unleashed at all.
Yeah, that show was not. That turned out to be such a nothing show, an absolute nothing show, you know. And I think that was a mistake. And then, again, that, you know, is second half of 2018. Their grasp, you know, the reach far outceded their grasp, you know.
I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, again, there 2018 was definitely a year of two halves, and second half was just in a lot of ways not good. There were still some great things to watch. I mean, I still enjoyed some of it. Was I excited by a lot of it? Not really. And, like, I wasn't looking forward to a lot of it like I was previously, and that. But, you know, I guess, again, we're going to see. I mean, I'm hearing people now, and I guess we're kind of doing it too. We're already looking beyond Wrestle Kingdom at this point.
Yeah.
And it's like now we're taking a Wrestle Kingdom that's supposed to be the big, you know, the thing we look forward to the most. You know, it all roads lead to this, and we're just kind of like, okay, I can't wait for this to be done now, you know?
It's become a situation where it's like, at this point, we're great. The end of the year. Let's just see where Wrestle Kingdom goes, and from there, we'll re-engage.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, can you imagine WWE fans looking past WrestleMania? You know? It's the same. I don't know. I mean, it's just a weird concept.
It's odd, to say the least, but
it is odd to see. Yeah, it really is. Odd.
At the same time, there's always that 1 or 2% that have tried to do that, and then just left scratching their heads. The Raw after Mania, going fuck this shit. I'm done trying to figure this out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Again, I don't watch WWE, so I don't know if such a thing really happens. But, you know, and again, and you know, half of, you know, and even then, the first half, a lot of the first half of 2018, you know, you put so much focus on these guys who are clearly more interested in running their show in Hoffman Estates, you know, than working New Japan. And yeah, I don't know. A lot of this, again, we said this a few times on Side A, but if this All Elite Wrestling thing comes to pass, it really can't happen soon enough. I'm done with, you know, this particular promotion being put into a tailspin because of it, you know?
And here's what I'll say on this particular regard as well, and the fact that it seems that ever since the plans for All In started, that eventually these guys would want to pursue the avenue of possibly promoting more shows and having more of that creative control. You could even see it with having a show like Being the Elite every week on YouTube, how they tend to, you know, specifically direct things a certain way, hit certain beats and things like that. And that's fine. Like, growing a good competitive product into pro wrestling in this day and age, especially if you're going to have the backing of guys who own an NFL team as your big help, if the rumors are right. I think for wrestling overall, it's a very it can be a good thing if it's done right. But from New Japan's side of the fence, especially even if you have to kind of cut back on the Western expansion a little bit because you're losing some of those guys, on a long-term perspective, we all knew the Young Bucks weren't going to stick around forever, nor Cody Rhodes. Even Kenny Omega has been something that's been up in the air over the past 2 years now. So if it's a situation where we have to move away from them, great. Best of luck to them in whatever future projects and endeavors that they have. But show's got to keep moving forward here. And if that means refocusing back on some of the guys who have been around in New Japan and have made the commitment to the company, so be it.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, don't get me wrong. If All Elite Wrestling happens, great. I hope it succeeds because it can only benefit professional wrestling if it does. You know, we're, you know, all over the world. But yeah, at this point, I'm just, you know, shit or get off the pot here, you know? I mean, we know the trademarks have been filed. Are you going to do something with them or not, you know? So, it is. Overall, though, I mean, the second half was worse than the first half of New Japan, and you could tell. And I mean, even even you and I, and even Lawrence at that last Place to Be Nation episode, we were just like, you know, get us the fuck out of here, you know. And, you know, we were just kind of, you know, Jesus Christ, what the hell is going on here? But now, you know, I think, you know, that those feelings have calmed a little bit. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think at this point I'm really just ready for Wrestle Kingdom to happen and then for 2019 to start in earnest, and then we can see what happens. And hell, you know, one of my favorite tours happens at 2019 too, which is Fantastica Mania. And I think next episode we're gonna try to have Cubs fan back with us again to to do the preview as always.
Yeah.
Because he's good people and it's always good to, and we have a few people to talk about this year too, but yeah. So I think we've hit a halfway mark here. So Chris, you know that live read that I did last time?
Oh goodness!
I think this is up to you now.
I mean, well, as the co-host of Strong Style Story, I guess I have certain duties to take on board as well. So. With that in mind, we do definitely encourage everybody to check out ProWrestlingOnly.com to explore other podcasts, along with match reviews, features, and retrospectives, reviews of wrestling books, video games and matches, playlists, wrestler appearances in non-wrestling TV shows and movies, and a whole lot more. You can join the conversation as well by signing up at the PWO forums. We've been online for over a decade, and with over 2,000 registered members and an archive of over 4 million threads, our message boards is a vibrant community on its own. Whether you want to talk about a specific match in our match discussion archive, take a deep dive in the Microscope forum, or discuss more general topics from wrestling's past and present, feel free to check all of that and more out at www.prowrestlingonly.com.
Why the hell do we both trip over microscope? Did you notice
it's
that?
It's something about the word microscope that is just
we keep tripping over that damn word. Maybe they need to rename that for
perhaps.
I don't know.
That's probably an argument we should bring up to them off the air.
So okay. So this is our third anniversary show. My God.
Yeah.
Chris and I have been doing this for 3 goddamn years, and we were the original 2 co-hosts, of course.
Yep.
Along the way, we picked up other folk like Steve Cash, Lawrence O'Brien, J.B. Rowe. You know, we had some guests on the show, Dion Wells and Bunchy Bunches of SOS Wrestle Talk. You can find them on YouTube at Loudmouth Wrestling and also with, at soundcloud.com/SOS Wrestle Talk. We had a few other guests in our history, too, that will go left unsaid. one of them, whom we bring up a couple of times because he's still working for New Japan. The other one, caused quite a kerfluffle earlier this year, and we kind of took some blowback for it.
Mm-hmm.
But and rightly so, and, you know, that's on us, you know. But, So we've been doing this for 3 years. I think the last episode we did under the Place to Be Nation banner, I've come out and said, I don't know what the future of the show is going to be. Because I was hitting a wall, and I said I was going to try to push to episode 50 of this. But who knows? I mean, I don't know. That's not a hard deadline or anything like that. So, and who knows? I mean, maybe, again, I think a lot of it was to do with the fact that New Japan was just kind of, again, the second half of 2018 not doing so well creatively, and it was just kind of becoming a bummer to watch. So I don't know. One thing I do need to discuss, though, is that the blog may be moving. And the reason for that is Tumblr has now instituted new rules against, not safe for work posts. And which means that Tumblr really has absolutely no idea what goes on Tumblr. Because I think a fair lot of things that happen on Tumblr are not safe for work type posts. So, so it's not just in solidarity against censorship, but I may be moving the blog because there may not be a Tumblr to be around if they go through this, because I think they're going to lose quite a lot of their usership.
Yeah.
And so there might not be once again, everything that Yahoo touches ends up turning to shit in the end. And it certainly seems to be the case here. And more to the point, Verizon, because I think Verizon bought out Yahoo a while ago. But either way, so the blog may be moving soon. So, but all that said, the show has been a great thing. I mean, hell, I mean, in 2017 we all met up.
Yep,
in Long
we
Beach,
did.
And that was fun. But now it seems like, just due to things. I mean, Steve, I'm not in a position to say things, but Steve, I know, has had a lot of business to take care of the last year, and Lawrence O'Brien, I know, was just kind of burnt out on pro wrestling in general. And of course, he's doing his own podcast now called Prospect Profile, is a about college football scouting.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
It is what it is. I mean I have another show myself. It's called Busting Balls. It's about it's about soccer, football.
Yep.
SoundCloud.com/busting-balls. You can listen to that. In fact, I'm recording one of those this weekend too. But I really value what this show has done. As far as meeting folk. I mean, you and I met on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
As these things happen, I think we just said, "Hey, why don't we, do this right before, why don't we do this right before Wrestle Kingdom? Was it 10? Yeah, it had to have been 10.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and
Wrestle
it was
Kingdom
just
10.
Something literally on a whim in which, hey, let's just talk about it, post it somewhere, and
yeah, and then
see
and
how
then
it
we
goes.
Decided, and then we decided to do a show beforehand, so we don't just drop in with the Wrestle Kingdom preview.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And then that's kind of how it all started. So. So Chris, we've been around here for 3 years. So, let's go through let's get in our feels about the last year of both this show and of New Japan. So,
yeah.
What were some of the high points for you of this year?
In terms of New Japan, I would say Wrestle Kingdom at the beginning of last year, regardless of how certain results fared out, I thought was a very successful, very fun show to watch from start to finish, kind of culminating what the previous year had all done and setting a course for certain beats that we were going to hit throughout the year. Along with that, Dominion was pretty nice as well. You had a lot of... The thing about New Japan is that at the very least you could count of some really good matches being spread out throughout the course of the year, and I do think this year was no different in that regard, thank goodness. And just along with that, from a personal perspective, I think it was more so, and this kind of goes back to the way of the show for us in general, it kind of encouraged me to get myself a little bit more out there to go see more wrestling shows, to take kind of a leap of faith and do the situation in which we did that got us into the very first G1 special over in Long Beach that we all ended up watching, and I kind of caught the bug from there in terms of going to more shows and just kind of
you really fell into that, didn't you?
Yeah, definitely so, and I think I'm personally better for it just in the fact that seeing good wrestling and knowing what to expect and kind of learning what you like helps you avoid the stuff that you don't like after you realize that you are not really a big fan about it, type of thing. So,
right, okay. Specifically New Japan, I really enjoyed the Lionsgate shows this year. And the fact that they kind of dropped off after the middle of the year just kind of, it kind of saddened me. Now, I know there were some reasons for that, like there were less young Lions to go around, for one thing. But, I mean, the fact that Ayato Yoshida started getting on to main New Japan cards and, in fact, took place in the World Tag League Tournament, I thought that was a step in the right direction. And, in fact, he was doing young Lion duty today, I saw.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, I really think that Ayato Yoshida is going to be coming in. I mean, we already said that Shingo Takagi and Taiji Ishimori were good gets. There were still a lot of really good matches that happened in New Japan. I mean, that hasn't changed. There was a little, just maybe not so much at the top of the card is the problem.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's still a lot there, and again, I'm not ready to throw in the towel on this yet. But yeah, this was kind of a down year. But I mean, there wasn't. It was not without its positives. In that regard, so do you have something?
Oh, in terms of just positives or something specific?
Or did you have something you wanted to ask me or something? You know,
I would say just
going back and forth here.
Yeah, certainly. I would say this just because we know 2018 being somewhat of a down year for us and what we think of the New Japan side of defense. What would you say would be the three most important things that New Japan would need to do to kind of get back on the upswing in 2019? And that can be just pretty much as broad as you need it to be to something specific.
Well, I think really that there's two redemption stories, and I think they need to collide, which is Naito and Okada, especially Naito. Because I don't think Okada is going to be too... Okada is going to recover. It's Naito who still gets the reaction, I think, really needs to get back, you know, looking like a main eventer again, you know? I dare say that Hiromu Takahashi needs to come back because, I mean, there is something missing without him on these shows, you know? And I think, you know, hopefully he does recover. I mean, obviously it's much more important that he recovers to full health and is healthy and is well, but I would really like to see him back. And then also, I think that if, you know, the Elite do leave to do their own thing, I think that New Japan needs to have that same spirit that happened in 2016 when Shinsuke Nakamura, AJ Styles, Machine Gun Carl Anderson, and Doc Gallows all left. And people thought that there was like this going to be this major gaping hole, you know, Shinsuke Nakamura-shaped hole, especially in New Japan, and they stood up and delivered, and it was almost like nothing happened. I mean, it was like it was better, in fact, in very many ways. So I think they need to find that same fortitude from 3 years ago when we thought that they may hit a creative, may hit a creative nadir, and yet they here we are. I think that's what needs to happen.
All right, fair enough.
What about you? What are your answers to that?
I'd say in particular just taking a more concise approach when it comes to their main event picture and just trying to lay things out as clearly as they can. We know that the Kenny Omega thing last year was going to happen sooner or later, just I guess on a fear that he might have possibly been on the verge of leaving over the next couple of months coming up where we're at here on the timeline. But I guess none of us expected it to be anywhere near as disappointing as it was from the booking side of the fence. So a little more consistent booking up on the top of the card would be great to see them kind of nail down with whatever it is that they end up deciding to do, since we don't make the rules here. We just kind of watch the product. Seeing Tetsuya Naito's role be a little more expanded in 2019 would be great as well, because as 2018 has proven, you can kind of do just about anything to him, even going as far as hanging him in limbo, and he'll still be the most over guy you have on the roster. But on the same vein, he's not getting any younger, and while there's still time on him, the sooner you strike when while the iron is hot, I think the better New Japan will be for it from a local market perspective. Because at the end of the day, the majority of these shows are still happening in Japan, and you need guys that can push that, continue to push that market, continue to give fans a reason to come out and keep selling out these shows the way they have the past couple of years. And I think Naito as your top guy helps you in that, or Okada as your top guy helps you in that. I don't think that's necessarily going to be I don't necessarily think that a foreigner would establish kind of the best result with that. I think Kenny is a weird special case in the fact that he's been in Japan for as long as he has, but anybody else of foreign descent in that position, I think, would have nowhere near kind of the level of success. So I think in general, just focusing on Naito a little bit more would be a nice big thing to see happen. And consistency in the tag team pictures. Please stop doing the stuff that you've been doing with the tag league and the Super Junior tag leagues. Just if you're going to have a tournament on those particular divisions, cool, have those tournaments. The round robin was a big step forward, I think, rather than the single elimination stuff, just because some of that can get sketchy from time to time, especially if you need to fill certain cards within a tour. And if you're going to run more shows, the round robin portion helps in that regard. I think that's a good step for them, but just make the winners of round robins face the champions one-on-one, and don't put the champions in the awkward position of facing the eventual, like, winners of the league, if it's to be expected, and just, or really, I would even argue, just don't put the champions in these tournaments altogether. Kind of save them as the special attraction for they're going to fight whoever won this particular round robin tournament type of thing.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think that, I mean, even like putting in the champion in G1, I think is kind of silly, unless you're going to actually do something with.
Yeah, exactly. Unless you're planning on having the champion itself win the entire thing and call out his own shot. Like, the carrot has been dangling there for the past couple of years, and we haven't seen the trigger necessarily pulled on that. So if you're not going to do it at any time, then I don't.
Then why?
I get it for challengers leading up to Wrestle Kingdom. That part I get. But I feel you could also determine that some other way, too, if you felt like, if you really put your brain together into it, although that much is not as much of a major complaint on my end compared to the tag portion. So, yeah, I think those three big things, obviously more concise booking on the main event top half of the card, Naito getting a bigger push, not because I'm personally biased and a fan, but just because he's proven at this point that he is one of New Japan's biggest draws, and you're
leaving money
on the table by not pushing him as such.
Yeah, I mean, he's the only one that gets like anything close to, like, you know, 90s All Japan reactions from anybody, you know? And no, I'm with you there. Okay, so what would you say was the absolute high and the absolute lowest points of New Japan this year?
I'd say probably Dominion was a very nice culmination of everything that they started building in 2018. It's kind of where that apex for the year hit. And then really the rock bottom portion, I would argue, was Fighting Spirit Unleashed.
Really? You think that was the absolute nadir of New Japan?
I think because with King of Pro Wrestling, it kind of outside of a couple of specific moments in that show, it kind of was just plateaued from where Fight and Spirit Unleashed kind of went into, and then World Tag League, for the most part, kind of elevated it slight bit, plateaued, and we'll see kind of where it goes from here.
I would say that the absolute high point for me this year during 2018 would have been the Best of Super Junior final.
Yep, fair.
Between, I thought that was the right way to go, which was, you know, Hiromu beating Taiji Ishimori. The absolute low part was the main event of King of Pro Wrestling. That match was absolute fucking garbage. And I don't care that there were certain good spots in it. It was overall, it never should have happened to begin with, and it just took the wind out of my sails.
Yeah.
Looking forward for a decent match.
Yeah, I think. And I'm just to elaborate on my end as a quick addendum. I think the reason why I chose Fighting Spirit Unleashed is not because it was necessarily the worst card, but more so because you kind of realized at that point that any sort of Western expansion, if you oversaturate it enough, people will not show up.
Oh yeah, I mean. Right, but I mean, yeah, look at how, I mean, All In sold out, which it wasn't a New Japan show, but it had New Japan talent on it.
Exactly.
And then, the Ring of Honor, New Japan Super Card of Honor that's going to happen during Mania weekend, that sold out, like, they opened up the tickets for that, like, 9 months ahead of time, and they went.
Yep.
And Fighting Spirit Unleashed did not sell. I mean, you saw the empty seats because, unfortunately, the Walter Pyramid, the seats are yellow. You could see them.
It's very obvious, folks. Like, ridiculously. And I think the worst part, too, is that it seems like it didn't dawn on New Japan that All In at the beginning of the month, the people within the Los Angeles area that managed to get tickets, who would be at that Fighting Spirit Unleashed show, choosing to go to Battle of Los Angeles instead, to a certain extent. So it's like, there were some combinations here that just did not work out for them. And I think you can consider that, some bumps on the road for them to consider going forward into 2019 as they do more of these Western expansion shows. But,
Right. Well, I mean, I think moving into Charlotte, North Carolina is a good
attempt. Yeah, it's a good step.
They're getting out of California and they're going to the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Pick some places where you know you can get a little bit of an audience that are major wrestling cities and run your like 500, 600 seaters and kind of see how the interest peaks out before expanding into something like as big as the Walter or even like trying for another Cow Palace type of situation.
Yeah, well, too bad the Dallas Sportatorium's gone.
Could
have gone there.
That would have been a really interesting see, honestly, on that.
Yeah. Your top three New Japan matches of the year?
I'm going to say Tanahashi Ibushi G1 Final. Goodness, yeah, it's a little bit tough for sure. Hiromu Ishimori from Best of Super Juniors Finals. I'll actually say it, Okada versus Naito at Wrestle Kingdom still did something for me there.
I didn't even think that was the best match at Wrestle Kingdom.
No, I don't think so either, but I think just the emotional investment for me kind of elevates it just a little bit more over some of the other options that were there for it.
Okay.
Because otherwise it would have been Minoru and Goto probably.
Yeah. Well, you know, on that note, I'm going to say these were my favorite New Japan matches this year. Hiromu versus Ishimori, Best Super Juniors Final. Absolutely fantastic match. I still think you should go out of your way to go watch it. I'm also going to put up there the recent Suzuki versus Ishii match for the Rev Pro title. That was at Power Struggle. That was the best match on that card, and it just blew me away. They just went at each other right from go. And I thought that was a great match. Although, you know, there were certain G1 matches, but, you know, I don't know if I can, you know, quantify the G1 matches at this point, you know?
Yeah, that's
true. It's kind of tough. I mean, my favorite New Japan match that took place in New Japan. Y'all not going to believe me when I say this, even though I've been saying it for weeks and months. But it's going to be from Lionsgate Project 12, which happened in May. I'm going to go with Shota Umino versus Daisuke Sekimoto, because that was a masterclass of wrestling.
Mm-hmm. They told a really, really good story behind it. I think I had it, if I had to really rank him on a list of top 1 to 10, I think it would make like my number 5 or 6, personally.
That was my personal favorite match that happened in New Japan, because it was just an oddball combination, and Shota delivered. He proved he can, you know, he's not just Red Shoes Kid, he can deliver. And he is developing. Now, go ahead.
So, no, it was definitely a very much a coming out party for Shota in terms of where his potential is. It was an incredible guest in Daisuke Sekimoto, who is talented beyond belief for people who aren't as familiar with the name. Literally seek anything out that he's done over the past couple of years and you'll find a banger for sure.
Oh my god, yes. And it
did the combination of telling a really good story between the the young lion trying to rise above his ranks and a very established veteran who had no problems beating the holy living shit out of him for it.
Yeah, right, exactly. So now, all this being said, my favorite match of the year, period, involves New Japan wrestlers, but it did not happen in New Japan, which is why I'm kind of caveating this.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be the 30-minute draw that happened between Minoru Suzuki and Kazuchika Okada at Minoru Suzuki's 30th anniversary celebration, the Great Pirate Festival.
Yeah, and
because, guys, let me rant on this for a second, Chris, please.
Yeah, of course, by all means.
This was like the absolute atmosphere and everything. Yes, it was a 30-minute exhibition draw, but who gives a shit? When you consider the torrential downpour that was happening during this match, Ayumi Nakamura not only singing in Minoru Suzuki, but ring announcing, Kyohei Wada refereeing the match, Suzuki bleached his hair and went, you know, with the white garb that he does occasionally for like special occasions. That he does that, and knowing full well that he was doing a 30-minute draw. And then Okada comes out, and there is the money. They still have the money flying in this rainstorm, and he's doing a rainmaker pose in an actual torrential downpour. And they actually worked. I mean, they did a great 30-minute draw. They worked well with each other. And they were just, the photos that were circulating that day, and then, I mean, hell, they even became, you know, they're Minoru Suzuki's entrance theme now.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. they're his entrance video. So that's my overall wrestling match of the year. Probably nobody else will have this. I think Chris Charlton did. But
yeah, Charlton definitely did on his end. But I can't believe you wanted it. It's circumstances for a once-in-a-lifetime type of match, not necessarily in terms of the opponents, but in the circumstances of Minoru's 30th anniversary and doing it in Yokohama and doing it under that weather. Like, everything that came together for that moment to happen is never going to be replicated in any way, shape, or form again. It was special.
It was just a beautiful piece of pro. I mean, this is the sort of thing that I would aspire to show somebody to prove that pro wrestling, yes, can be art at times.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm. Definitely.
Because this was art. You know, it was art by happenstance. Because I don't know if it would have been as meaningful if the rain hadn't happened. You know, but you know, it's just like Juice and Jay from. Juice and Jay from the Cow Palace, I don't know if that would have been as meaningful if, you know, Josh Barnett had hauled off on Jay, you know?
And if Jay White hadn't doubled down on it and literally, like, goaded him on to, like, try and do something regardless of whatever the results might have been either. So
yeah, that was, I mean, yeah, sometimes, I mean, it's an important lesson that sometimes, you know, circumstances will help wrestling. You cannot script absolutely everything in pro wrestling, yeah. You know? It's just, I'm not saying you can't try to do it, but it's just impossible to do it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and that's where I stand, so.
And it's definitely a very good argument for, like, an overall match in terms that you watch. I'm still trying to really come up with my own personal, like, overall throughout the year. But unfortunately, the one that's sticking out to me, and that's mainly a lot of bias because I was there in person for it, it probably would have to be Shingo Takagi and Ilya Dragunov teaming up against Walter and Timothy Thatcher at night one of Battle of Los Angeles, that big tag main event. It literally had the feel to me, and I think Captain Jack Heartless and I both have discussed this in the past, like even after the show, because we were right next to each other watching this happen, that it had kind of like a very 90s All Japan main event feel in terms of like two big singles guys going up against this unbeatable kind of ungodly force of a team, which you definitely saw more often than not in your Misawa Kobashi against the Holy Demon Army type of situation.
Oh my
so,
God. Well, that's my favorite All Japan match of all time, is that 6-9-95 tag match.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, but I'm not saying it replicated every single aspect of that.
Well,
but
right.
That,
no, I know what you're saying. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to say, you know, my favorite match outside of New Japan this year was from CMLL Super Viernes. I don't have the date in front of me, but it was that main event, 2 out of 3 falls between LA Park and Rush.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Another
fantastic bout altogether. They're like the literal genuine hatred seating between these two. You could feel it in every single interaction that they did.
Oh, my God. I mean, I am still so fucking peeved that we did not get that mask versus hair match of the Anniversario like they kept promising. I was pissed.
Understandably so. So.
But that was wrestling. I mean, there was a lot to be pissed off about in wrestling in 2018. So.
Not wrong. Not wrong at all.
So, long story short, this was our anniversary show. I'm still going to try to push for episode 50. After that, there's no guarantees, folks. which means there is going to be an episode 48. It's going to be after Wrestle Kingdom. It'll be we're going to recap that. We'll talk about New Year Dash. We'll have more idle speculation, and we will probably have the Cubs fan joining us for his yearly appearance to talk about Fantascomania when we return in the new year. So. Long story short, thank you to everybody who is still friends with me on Twitter, because I know I kind of burned some bridges this year on certain things. And the people who keep listening to us on the Pro Wrestling Only feed, even sticking around after the split with Place to Be Nation.
Importantly, the people who put up with our bullshit on Twitter. Thanks.
Yeah, that too. Especially. Shout out to Brad and Chad of Place to Be Nation for agreeing to take us on in the first place over here. Shout out to John of Pro Wrestling Only for keeping us around. And we promise at some point we're going to do... We may try to do another Strong Style History before the calendar flips. I can't guarantee that it's going to happen. We may try to do one, though. Because we've been horribly slacking off on that. But then again, two of the main drivers of that show have left us. Too. So I don't know. I mean, we gotta figure that out, basically. But on that note, of course, shout out to Steve Cash, Lawrence O'Brien, Dion Wells, Bunchy Bunches, JB Rowe, Brett Bahu. He joined us at one point. Although I think that was last year, though, wasn't it? Didn't he join us? Yeah, that was last year. But that's cool. I mean, it is what it is. Anybody who's ever, made us feel welcome and decide to join us on this crazy journey we do here. So, But Chris and I have been talking about 3 hours today now, and I think I'm about done.
We need to go eat, you guys.
Yeah, Chris. Well, Chris. Well, do you have anything else you need to say? You wanted to say to the people?
Just in general, thank you for 3 years. This show has allowed us to, in some ways, rise above our own stations, probably more than we ever expected. And thanks to this show, I've made a lot of some of my closest friends over the last recent year or so, and people that I'm more than happy to go and watch fucking wrestling shows with in California of all places. So I'm eternally thankful for this. So like, no matter what happens, even if this hypothetically was like the last episode ever that we did, if we get to 50 episodes and decide to end it, or if we continue it till we hit, I don't know, 100 or some shit.
We'll
have no idea where it's going to end up.
Yeah.
But
Chris, thank you for agreeing to do this in the first place years ago. You know, that was, you know, and then, you know, look where we are now. So,
yeah, I'm glad we both took the leap in our own ways to put this together. It's been more rewarding than I could ever really express in words or anything written.
Yeah.
So let's just see where let's kind of like any good thing in wrestling. Let's just keep riding this and see where it goes.
Yeah. So in the meantime, you know, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Holidays, in general, Happy New Year to you. I know it may be rough for some of you, and I completely understand that feeling. I mean, hell, we don't even get a Doctor Who for Christmas this year. I mean, what the hell?
Oh yeah, right. That was a thing this year.
Yeah, we don't even get that. So I mean, I understand that holidays are kind of rough sometimes, and you know, you can get through it, but you know, it's just So I mean, this was our final Strong Style story of 2018. You know, to wrap up the year, and this is our anniversary, and and we'll be back after Wrestle Kingdom and before Fantasticomania. We'll have the Cubs fan with us. So on behalf of Chris Damasceno, I'm Jeffrey Wessel. Thanks for listening. We'll see you in the new year. Take care.